Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
To me, what you guys are doing is both extraordinary and completely normal. Mm-hmm. It's not, I don't think it's crazy for a mother and her son to talk about sex, because I try to live in that's kind of what sex positivity means to me.
And we're live.
Woohoo!
We have Buddha from Dude Panel on today.
That's right. Here I am. Happy to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us. You're live with Sex Talk with My Mom.
First of all, I just want to say how much I really, really love the name of this podcast, the name of this everything. I didn't get to talk about sex with my mom.
You didn't?
I mean, no, really.
Shocking.
I still don't, really. Actually, I'll tell you a quick mini story is that I gave my parents some shit for not having any sex education, you know, and where else, where I grew up in like the suburbs of Massachusetts and Boston.
Well, how old are you?
I'm 34.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Just
so
setting the scene here so people that are listening can.
She's not really from the 50s.
Yeah. Okay.
Back in my day, no sex education. Abstinence only. But, I mean, that's still happening in parts of the country. But my parents, as a joke, sent me like a sex ed book like a couple years ago for my birthday or something, you know.
They finally broke down and talked about the birds and the bees.
But they didn't really acknowledge the fact that there was that, like, the impact of not educating people around sex. I mean, it's pretty shitty, I think.
Yeah.
So where did you learn about sex?
Oh, I mean, where did I not learn about sex? I mean, in the beginning, probably like porn, like anybody, you know, I suppose. I didn't have any older brothers or sisters.
So you learned about sex
error,
through porn. That's,
you know, a
that's
lot of errors.
Yeah.
You know, and then I ultimately, I mean, today, you know, I've learned from sex educators. I mean, I have friends that are actually doing this right and, you know, taking the time to say, to ask ourselves, how do we want to educate people around sex? And, you know,
do you think that it's had any consequences by not having like a talk with your parents growing up, or were you like, oh, I'm fine with the way that this has turned out?
I mean, even if I had a talk with them, what are they going to say? They weren't educated.
You know, they tell you the stork comes down.
Right. Well, that's the problem with sex education is if we do it at all, we do it about reproduction, which is like 0.01% of what sex is.
Yeah,
we don't talk about pleasure. We don't talk about how to have conversations about it. We just talk about this is a uterus, this is a fallopian tube, and this is where babies come from, which is stupid.
You have not talked to Karen Lee Potter.
Apparently,
mother.
So I'm just saying, I'm excited that you guys have this.
Yeah.
It's awesome to see people talking about sex in general, but especially mother and her son.
Yeah, it's fun.
So I love it.
Yeah. It's a wild time.
Yeah. It started out as like a little bit of a joke, but then next thing you know, we're talking about some premature ejaculation issues. You never know what.
Starts out as a joke.
Thank you, mother. Premature ejaculation. There we go. Yeah.
And we're starting out the podcast with a bang.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Today we wanted to talk a little bit about monogamy.
Yeah.
Your experience with it.
I like the Chicago accent. You're like, monogamy.
No.
We're talking about monogamy.
Yeah. We thought you were from Boston. You'd have that Kennedy accent.
Talk about monogamy.
So here's my question, and I'm going to just throw this out there.
Yeah.
You're 34 now.
I'm 34 now.
And Cam is 27.
Be for much longer, but I'll be 34 for another you know, 9 months or so. That's how it works, I think.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay. I'm getting older.
I got a month to go before my birthday.
Right.
Anyway.
And so
you're 27, she said.
Yeah, yeah. Cam's 27.
Yeah.
So what...
Turning 28.
You know, what would you have told your 27-year-old self about sex? Or how it's changed in the past, like, whatever.
That's a good question.
How it's changed. I mean...
Very good. I like that.
It's interesting, and I think I mentioned this to you maybe, that 27 is when I sort of started this journey.
I kind of knew
for
that.
For myself,
that's
right?
Why,
yeah,
that's where that question came from.
Let's get in here.
I would say, you know, it's about finding the right community. I think, like, growing in the way that would have, I think, my life be benefited the most. I'd say go to the people who are talking the most honestly and authentically about sex. If you're in a community and there's not open and honest, transparent conversation, it's probably not as good as it could be. And so,
are your parents in that community?
No, my parents are not in that community. So lately, like, I think the sex positive communities are the ones that I really find they resonate with the most. They're talking about gender identity. They're talking about consent. They're talking about pleasure. They're talking about privilege. They're talking about these things that are important and actually make a really big difference, I think, in the actual lives of people in terms of like having a better sex life.
So how has entering that community affected your sex life?
I've learned to, I think I've learned to I now better understand the a woman's experience in a way.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, because it seems, is confusing. It's very confusing.
It's very confusing, yeah.
How the orgasm is beyond me. It seems like it comes out of nowhere. Sometimes never comes.
And so that's and that's just about like the actual, like that's a very small example, but I'm even talking about something like, you know, what is it like? I have a friend named Reed Mahako, and so he posed this question to a men's group that actually brought him in to talk to, like, this is like 4 or 5 or 6 years ago. And he said, you know, it was a group of guys, and he said, all right, so it's 2 a.m., you're leaving a bar, what are you thinking about? And most guys, where to get tacos, can I take this girl home, whatever. That's typical guy stuff. And he said, all right, what do you think women are thinking about? Most women are like, she's leaving a bar at 2 a.m., what are you thinking about? And we mostly had no idea. It was just kind of like, I don't know. Like, well, she might be thinking about, like, I hope I get back to my car safely. Like,
mm-hmm. That's true.
It's my car's a mile away. I have to walk there. How do I, like, make sure I avoid any shady areas? Mm-hmm. You know, that guy looks suspicious. Maybe I'll go the other way. That doesn't occur to guys. Like, that's not the world we live in. We don't, yeah. You know.
Besides safety, what do you think, what other things do you think she's looking at or thinking about, rather?
I mean, probably a lot of things. But,
I'm thinking that she's almost thinking the same thing. Where am I getting something to eat? And
possibly.
Could I make out with some guy?
Yeah, no, there's really overlap.
I hate to tell you, but she's thinking the same thing guys are.
This is definitely what you're thinking.
Well, there's some.
Okay, that would be me. But I have several girlfriends, and I think that a lot of them are thinking the same thing guys are thinking.
I mean, I think there's definitely a lot of overlap. I mean, and I guess the thing that I've realized, you know, so that's like a little mini example, but to kind of circle back around to like, what is it that it's helped me? I think in a big way, it's understanding that it's, you know, as a woman, we as a society, but, you know, we've been continually discouraging women to use their voice in relationships around sex, around that kind of stuff. And so what I can do, having understood that this has been going on for hundreds, thousands of years even, is that I can sort of balance that out by really encouraging someone to speak up for what they want, to speak up for what brings them pleasure. You know, I think men have been given permission and said, hey, you're a guy, go seek pleasure. Mm-hmm. Like, that's your thing. Do it. Mostly what women have been hearing is, please other people. Go please that person. That's, you should seek to please. Men should seek to please themselves. I'm very generalizing. Of course, there's a lot of people that maybe
and there's a lot of slut shaming.
Totally, yeah. And it's not, that's not the opposite is not
you
true.
Don't have a
you
guy
don't have
that's
guys
slut
get
shaming,
slut, and guys get slut celebrated. Mm. You know, and
it's
so
true.
so what I do is that's made my life better is to understand that experience, so then I can act in a way that is, I don't know, just helps the whole situation. I mean, does that kind of make sense? I mean, it's like, you know, I might reemphasize the fact that I'm curious, like, what turns you on? Like, what is it that you really, like
you
what
give
is
a
that?
Shit.
And I'm going to share my own, but like, I'm there. Like, this is a, like, this isn't, you know, and again, depending on who I'm with, some people already kind of get this. Some
people, Cam, is that what you were kind of implying when you asked about the orgasm too?
Yeah, I'm curious actually whether at 27 you had an idea of how much, like the place that sex was supposed to.
I didn't know
be
anything
in your
at 27.
Life.
At 27, I was hopeless. I mean, I had a decent love life. I think some people would have seen my life from the outside and been like, well, Dave's got a great love life. That's cool, you know. But
when you mean love life, do you mean sex life, or do
no?
You mean
I mean just
you
like just with the perception. Like, I mean, I was like a decent looking guy. I was at the time. I was a Navy officer. You know, I play music. I'm a singer songwriter guy. So I've got all these like resume things that like you know I would have. So
Navy
I,
officer. That, like, that's you know, shocking.
So you know, I had a but I hadn't. I didn't really know what I was doing. I mean, it was just floundering.
Did you know so I asked this because I'm still trying to figure out, like, how sex is very pleasurable.
Yeah.
But should I be trying to have it all the time? Should I, you know, just do it only when I right now it doesn't feel as confusing because I'm in a committed relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, it would be very confusing to me about, you know, should I be trying to sleep with everyone that I could possibly sleep with?
Right.
Should
if you weren't in a relationship?
I think if anything, the job of a 20-something-year-old is to discover who they are as a sexual being.
Hmm.
So you're in the trial period.
Oh, wow.
You're not like, and I think that's probably true for people even into their 30s. I'm not even saying that we should like say, okay, I'm 30, now I know who I am. Like, I didn't. I mean, I, you know, in a lot of ways, my identity and my preferences and what my values are have only emerged in the last couple of years even.
Let's get into those.
Yeah. Well, so I'm polyamorous. I don't want kids and I don't prefer traditional gender roles in a sense. So basically, if I'm in a relationship, I don't want the woman to just assume that I'm going to do all the man stuff and she's going to do all the woman stuff.
I
want
that.
It to be more co-creative.
Like,
so it's like cool.
Mean,
like,
what does that mean?
Maybe a traditional man role would be like doing taxes, but maybe I'm not good at doing taxes. Maybe she likes doing mm-hmm. taxes.
Are you just trying to get out of doing taxes?
I fucking hate
really?
Taxes. Nobody likes taxes.
How about cooking?
Taxes, but cooking like, that is like that's been slowly loosening over time, I want someone who's actually really deconstructed that and really considered that, where there's nothing, she's not bringing a whole bucket list of assumptions to the table, because it can be, you know, like in a relationship I was in, you know, like my partner sort of expected me to be a certain way sexually because I'm a man.
What did she expect?
Well, I mean, I think she had it that because like we're husband and wife, that like, you know, I should be like initiating sex often. But if she wanted it and I didn't initiate it, she might not initiate it because
it's so strange to me.
Just different stuff. Like I just think gender in general is something that we need to really reconsider what we're actually doing with it.
Are you also bisexual?
Kind of. I don't really date men. I mean, if I'm in group situations or at play parties and things, like, I don't avoid contact with men. But I'm always mostly dating women.
Was that weird for you, like your first experience bisexually?
I haven't gotten super deep into it, to be honest. But yeah, it's weird. Men are generally raised with a ton of homophobia.
Yeah.
And I certainly was. I mean, I was in the Navy and all this other stuff. Despite the stuff about Navy people being gay,
exactly.
It's very conservative and it's maybe less conservative than the Army or the Marines, but are more less conservative. But men in general, I think, and this was true for me, we're conditioned with a lot of homophobia, like a fear of intimacy with other men, whether that's even just cuddling or massaging or like it's crazy. We could talk for hours about this, but it's...
No, would you have told your 27-year-old self that it's okay to hug a guy or it's okay to even kiss a guy or say, I love you?
I mean, if I could have actually communicated that in a way that my 27-year-old self would listen. I mean, that fear is deep, you know, for a lot of people. It's taken years of like slowly kind of working out those kinks for me to just be really comfortable. Like, I mean, last night I had a threesome with two other people and one of them was a guy and like, that wasn't weird for me, you know, or to like touch a cock. Like, that's not super weird, but it used to be like, but I don't really, I just didn't want to live in that world anymore where like I was deathly afraid of that.
Why is it so important for you to explore?
Good question, Cam.
Well, what's more important is for me to not live in fear.
Hmm. And so exploring is required
exploring,
if you want to not live in fear.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
And are you? I'm kind of fearful at times of opening up a Pandora's box, like where I might explore something sexually and right. then be scared like, oh, I like right. this. I don't want to go back to this, or I don't like this. And yeah. I mean, it's,
but that's
it's
just something, a fear.
It's a fear. Yeah. You're always scared of what the unknown.
And it's right. And it's unknown. And so you don't know if you'll mm-hmm. open up Pandora's box. You might not.
Or
you
I'm
might,
in a relationship,
and if you might actually want to open the box.
The problem is that I'm in a relationship, and if one of us decided to open the box, for example, and the one liked it, one didn't, then what do you do?
Well, then
then you have problems.
But maybe that was true for you, and that was there all mm-hmm. along, and maybe you figured out something that was actually says, hey, maybe we'd be better with other people.
Mm-hmm. Or you know, it could you go know? Any way, and that's what I think is. If it ain't broke, don't fix it type of thing. You know, then it's, unless you really have this need to go out and explore.
Well,
is that
again,
what you're
asking
too about why do you need to explore?
Yeah, I don't feel quite an urge to go explore. I don't have a lot of fear related to, as far as I know, like exploring.
Yeah.
But I don't have the drive that's really, I'm like, oh, I need to go check out all these different sex places and things like that.
Yeah.
Except when he's with me.
Yeah,
what
sure.
if my mom I'm like, this could be a very funny
this,
situation.
This
you're
funny.
Hosting a podcast yeah. called, you know, talking about sex with my mom.
We want to go to the dungeon.
Clearly, like,
and
you
we,
know, you're, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, teach their own. I mean, I don't know. I for whatever reason, I never would have thought that I would be, that if you'd have found me like 10 years ago and you said, yeah. you're going to be really useful to people in the area of relationships and sex, I would have said, that's fucking ridiculous.
That's what awesome. Kind of guy were
that's
you?
Stupid. I don't know. It just never was an intention of mine. I never wanted to like understand things in this arena to the extent that I might be actually helpful to someone. That's just surprising.
So that's how I'd feel as well.
Yeah.
Although I'm starting to realize that sex is like a very, it's such a basic and intimate experience that it can tell you a lot about a relationship or the way people function.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's increased my interest in it. But still the exploration part hasn't really... So I'm kind of where you were, feeling like if I'm having a threesome all the, you know, on any given night, 10 years from now or 5 years from now, I'd be very surprised.
Yeah, I mean,
I would be really surprised.
You know, I think it's good to explore the territories so you can understand, because it's hard to.
And you have to have something to talk about when you're 80.
Possible. I mean, I didn't know what was possible, you know, when I was 27, or, you know, even when I started, I was in a 4-year marriage and I started that at 29. And when we started that, we both thought, like being open would be cool. Like we started off monogamous for like, you know, 8 months or so. And then we opened up and
who
that was,
brought it up?
We both wanted it, actually. We both were like, it was pretty equal.
So how, I mean, I don't even know how that conversation would occur. Like one day you're at breakfast making eggs and you're saying, have you thought about having a threesome? I mean,
well,
does that actually happen?
It's, I don't know, it can happen a lot of ways, I suppose. But it starts, I think, with just open and honest communication in general. Mm-hmm. It doesn't start with, let's go out and fuck somebody. It starts with like, you know, who are you attracted to? Or like, what are your, just, and I felt like from the beginning with my that partner that there was a lot of room for to just be completely honest, which was really important. I wouldn't have felt like there was an opening to actually be with other people, because if that person can't be transparent and honest, you're screwed.
Because I get a lot of guys on my, not women, but guys on my YouTube channel asking me like, you know, I want to bring a third person in. How do I ask my partner?
You say, hey, partner, I'd like to bring a third person in. What do you, let's talk about that.
And most of them are frightened of the partner's response being, what, am I not good enough? Why do you feel like you need someone else to come into the
relationship? They're just afraid of communication, which is, I would see how that occurs to me when they come back with, well, what do you think I'm not good enough? I'm like, this is good.
This is going to enhance our relationship.
We're getting someone
sexual
now. Oh, and I hear, oh, great. So I hear that you have a fear of not being good enough when I say that. Tell me more about that. I just, that's like, that's intimacy. Like, I don't want to avoid that, you know? And so.
What do you think, Cam?
I'm on board. Fully on board.
Yeah.
So you would be able to say to Lady X, hey, I'd like to bring another person into our relationship?
If we got to that point, oh yeah. But right now, I don't have much of a desire for that.
Mm-hmm. And it could be, you know, a lot of things. I mean, it could be just.
And do you ever get jealous? Because I would think that I'm scared of one of us being jealous of each other. You're
I mean,
jealous of what's going on. Even
my relationship,
if you want to be open-minded, it's hard not to be.
No, of course I get jealous. And my relationship to jealousy has changed over the years. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's, well, first of all, jealousy doesn't mean there's anything wrong. which I think we sometimes think like, oh my God, jealousy is happening.
Right. It's a normal, broken. It's a normal emotion.
Yeah. It's like, okay, that means there's probably a need not getting that somewhere. So let's talk about it. But it's not like a big deal when it happens for me.
You know, when I heard that last from Nina Hartley, porn star.
Nina's great. I totally. Yeah. I really love what she's doing.
So we got an email recently just asking, how do we have such an open dialogue between a mom and a son about sex?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think this we're getting at the same question, which is how do you establish an open dialogue about sex and your desires, or it could be about anything in your relationship with a significant other.
Yeah.
And how do you establish that trust and that that openness? This is the question.
Right. And for us, it's evolved over this podcast.
Yeah.
Because we didn't always have this openness. I mean, I don't think we did. We had more openness than most.
We definitely had more openness than most.
But not like to where it's grown since.
Oh, it's significantly
grown. Like, we listened to a phone sex operator have an orgasm in front of us.
As we were on Skype.
It was great.
Very intense.
It was intense. but it was not all that comfortable.
Yeah.
It was like watching porn with my mom.
Yeah.
With someone we knew.
Literally what it was. Yeah.
Yeah. It was bizarre.
I mean, it's to me, what you guys are doing is both extraordinary and completely normal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's crazy for a mother and her son to talk about sex, because I try to live in that's kind of what sex positivity means to me, in a sense, is that like sex is not something to be avoided. It's not dirty. It's just part of life. It's like you talk about cooking chicken, you talk about sex, you talk about podcasts. It's just sex. It's only not normal because we as a society have convinced ourselves that we should avoid this, or that, you know, it's just crazy, you know.
So how, in your relationship, did you develop that openness with your cigar?
You know, I mean, I think we're going to find people that are about as open as we are, ultimately. Oh. You know, so I try to be as open as I can, because I think that's going to end up, I'm going to end up with those people. But I think it's about finding the watering holes where the people are really open and talking about sex. Those are the people I want to hang out with. Those are the pool of people I want to date. I'm not going to convert people that are not into talking. Hey, some people just aren't into talking about sex. That's fine. We're just probably not going to spend so much time together in the sexual way.
Other question, though, and I always ask this question. Cam's going to like, I know you probably already know the question I'm going to ask.
Oh, yeah.
All right, go ahead and say it.
How can you separate sex and love?
Bingo.
She asks this to everyone.
Isn't that what you're saying? Or are you saying?
I don't know. So what?
Are you able to separate sex and love?
So tell me what you mean by sex and what you mean by love in that way.
This is the best response we've heard yet.
Yeah, yeah. Because I've asked porn stars even the same question. But when I mean sex, I mean the actual act of...
Sexual acts.
Yeah, not hugging and kissing, but actual sexual reproductive...
Erotic, sexual things. Okay.
Yeah. Private parts. Dicks and cocks.
I say cocks, the Chicago.
Vaginas.
Dicks and cocks. You know, yeah, okay.
You know, oral sex.
Dick cocks. Yeah.
We're talking about that kind of shit.
Yeah.
Versus love, which is like you're in a relationship
like a
with someone,
love,
a romantic love. I mean, they're usually... in our society, brought together. You know, when you get married, you say, I'm loving and honor and cherish you, and implied only having sex with you for the rest of my life.
Sure.
So are you able to separate those two?
Am I able to separate them? Do I need to? I think we need to acknowledge them as separate energies. That's important, right? Because I think if we think, you know, a lot of times we'll get into a relationship and we'll be like, well, we're in love. Why don't we want to fuck each other? Right.
Or you can be in love with someone and not want to be sexual.
Yeah, like, and that's okay.
That's what you said, yeah.
You know, so like Esther Perel wrote a great book called Mating in Captivity about couples that lose their sexual drive but still love each other, and how you actually, that there is often, and what her, the point, one of the points she makes in that book, which is so important, is that oftentimes intimacy and eroticism tend to work against each other.
I read that book. It's a really important point,
I think, that we shouldn't expect those to just be linked because we thought that's what the way it was.
In fact, it could be counterproductive, because there's a lot of sexual like energy and aggression that's counterproductive to being soft and romantic and loving.
Sure. And
it's very
fascinating. But then there's also a lot of links that we don't acknowledge between those, which is, you know, that we can have sex from a loving place, or we can have sex from a more integrated play some sort of motioning to my heart.
He's
and
motioning to his genitals
here, right? But like, I think we can have sex that's more connected because we love someone. Mm-hmm. And when I say we love someone, I don't mean we're in a relationship with them. I mean that like we love someone as in like we're not hiding from them. We're showing them who we are. We have deep conversations. We're not afraid of like eye gazing with them. We're actually willing to let them see us like mm-hmm. That's the kind of love I'm talking about. And I think that's what actually has the sex then be way better. So I think we need both. I mean, at this point, and this wasn't true for me in my early 20s, maybe, but like this point, having sex without love present is just a waste of time.
Really?
I mean, might as well just jerk off. I mean, what's the point?
So last night,
I was about to ask the same question.
Were you in love with both people that you were having a threesome with?
Yeah, no, there was love, a lot of love between us. Yeah. No, is it in love? A lot of people think, does that mean you're in a relationship? I mean, when there's love present, I guess is what I'm talking about. But yeah, like between us, there is, and again, I'm referring to the kind of love that is like, there's less separated, less between us, you know? So a love would be, most people have the term love mean something about relationship or something about, you know, the time you spend with each other or other things. But I'm just saying that there weren't walls between us, you know? We weren't using each other to just get off. Like we were, there was a connection there. There was a meaningful connection, mm-hmm. and sex was also there too. But to me, the foundation of that is love. The foundation of any relationship for me is that love, which I also kind of refer to as deep friendship too. Because I think we've actually kind of, and I'm not going to blame Facebook, but I think that we've used the term friend.
Oh my gosh!
And
yeah.
we've. Friend is like someone whatever. You friend is like someone, spare change you find on the sidewalk, like who gives a shit. But it's like, you know, for me, hey buddy, for me, you know, deep friendship is the foundation of not just like my relationships but my life, you know. Like deep, that's
sounds
where
like
it's
you,
at
Cam.
You know, and yeah. so the people that I'm having sex with, I'm friends with as well. Like that's
so always, do you still have any kind of sex when there's very little knowledge, I mean, of that person ahead of time, like
I'll have like
a
what,
one night,
you know,
stand
like,
or something.
I mean, occasionally, and but I'm also creating the intimacy before the situation.
At the time, I might say,
you know, I sit down with them and talk. I mean, communication is like my fetish. You know, I love talking to people before we have sex, and I love talking to people if we have intended to have sex, and maybe we don't have sex because we just find that that's maybe not the best fit for us. But communication and getting to know them and the intimacy that gets created is part of the reason I'm in it to begin with. It's not just to get off.
So who do you find to establish these connections with and end up having sex with?
Where do you find these sluts?
We sluts hang out together. You know, we stick together.
I'm just looking to see if there's any questions here, then, by the way.
No,
yeah, I mean, you know, where do I find these people? Well, at this point, it's like friends of friends, to be honest. I mean, I have a lot of friends that are like me, and we introduce each other to each other. Like, for example, the situation last night, like I met the guy that like somebody said, hey, you should meet this guy, he's a lot like you. I was like, oh cool, I really like him, we have a lot in common. I saw that he had a maturity level that I could like just bring him into a situation and he would know what to do, and said, hey, you should meet my friend, you know, so and so, she's great, why don't we all go and hang out, and you know, there's a possibility of, you know, hooking up. But like again, the foundation of it is I think we're people who would enjoy each other's company. Sex is possible, but you know, and so we all met up. And
so, is it really love or is it an intense like?
I don't know. That's just semantics, I guess. You know, like what is? I think. I mean, love is. There's some words in the English language that are just landmines because love means something different to everybody. We might as well be using the word God or other things. Like, yeah. I mean, it's just a tough one.
Yeah. And there's probably degrees and shades of it so that it's not just one thing.
It means something different to everybody. And I think it's, I don't think we should, I mean, it's fine. We got to use a word, but we have to kind of really make sure we know what we're talking about before we speak on it.
Yeah. Should we answer some listener questions?
Mm-hmm.
We can. Let's keep talking about this. I don't know if
you're into this?
Yeah, no, this is great. This is great. We do the questions all the time.
Gotcha.
But
Well, okay. maybe someone.
We just have people chiming in here saying
they're asking.
That,
well, I guess so. I'll throw out some questions and so our audience is all women. Hello to the dude panel audience that are listening right now.
So dude panel and is what? Most people don't know what dude panel is.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us a little about dude panel?
It was the original YouTube channel that my friend Obi and I. Well, Obi started it and then he brought me in. And we answered questions from women about men, and we just tried to be honest about what's actually, how does that occur to us as men? I don't know. Mm-hmm. We like that, not like that, and what do we think about this? And then of course, like anything where you're talking about sex, people want advice, so you have to basically give advice, which wasn't the intention, but whatever.
It always leads to sex.
It always leads
all
to
roads
advice.
Lead to sex.
So, yeah. So, and then we have started a podcast, which is what some people are listening on right now, about 2 years ago, and called Dude Panel Radio, and we do this kind of thing. And this is a little bit different. Usually, Obi and I are just talking to each other, but sometimes we have guests like
us.
This is great. And then for the Dude Panel audience too, Karen, you've been doing, pioneering the world of the cougar, the older quote unquote woman,
the confident, older, unique, genuine, assertive, and racy woman that I am. Yes.
Yeah. Oh wait, is that's the acronym.
An acrostic poem?
Oh,
yeah.
So I just thought that.
Well, I tried to come up with another term for cougar.
Yeah.
And it just what would you call it? Mature woman? It sounds like some sort of a porn star. I mean, what would you call someone who's got a lot of confidence and who's cougars to me could be married people, single, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm curious, what had you want to get into this? What had you want to champion this?
Okay. So for those on Dude Panel who don't know me, I am in my 50s, and in my 40s, my husband was murdered. And I had 3 kids at the time. There were one, the middle son is with us now, Cam.
Hi there.
And I have a daughter who's older than Cam and a son that's younger than Cam. And so looking on the internet for people like myself was pretty much impossible. I was looking to get some guidance by other women who've gone through something similar, or even just, there's not a lot of widows at that age, and there's not a lot of women dating advice by women.
Yeah.
So I started this YouTube channel to help women.
Yeah.
And based on a lot of my experiences and stuff that I've read, and I have a social work degree, and everything seemed like the right idea. And I actually at the time had a guy with me doing the channel with me.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't have a lot of faith in us making a go of it. So I said, I need someone with 110%, positivity. Anyways, long story short, I decided to start this YouTube channel and what I thought was going to be mainly focused on women.
Mm-hmm.
Turned out all guys wanted, and I've always been comfortable with guys.
Yeah.
I like being with guys and I like the vibe. And so mostly guys are asking me questions about what it's like to be with an older woman. And apparently there's a lot of younger men that love older women.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's how the whole thing started.
That's great. Well, I think, and you wrote a book too.
About Cougar's Guide to Getting Your Ass Back Out There.
Right. So
thanks for that plug.
The dude panel audience is,
women. Yeah.
And there's a lot of older women that listen to the show.
Older women, you got to read the book.
What do you feel like? What my question for you would be what would you, so clearly this is an area of your life that's important to you. Like you
super
wrote this
important.
Because you had to go through it and you're still, you work with it. So what would you have told yourself maybe back in the day?
I wish I had myself
when you first got back
in the
out there. Yeah.
When I first got back out there, I was so naive. I really had no idea. I would do things like, believe a guy when he said, let's just go back to your hotel room and make out. And I'm like, oh, that's all he wants to do, just make out. And I would go to the hotel room and make out. That was really stupid, because it was always a battle after that. Like I was very naive, naive. But most important, I would say, I always had confidence in myself, but I think I developed an extreme confidence in myself and independence. Like I had never done a lot of things, like even rented a car by myself when I was married.
Yeah,
I was in a very traditional white picket fence type marriage and very monogamous and with 3 kids and the several animals, things like that. Mm-hmm. I had never done taxes. I had never done anything that were more manly side of me. So being able to find that side of myself, open that new chapter has been so liberating and freeing.
Yeah. And really just accepting that part of yourself. I think that's a challenge for
loving
a lot of women. That they see, I know what I'm doing. This guy doesn't.
Yeah.
Why don't I go and say, hey, John, you know, I think you're cute. You know, do you
want to
talk about
it? Oh, I've asked guys out.
Right? And like that, like why, you know, like why is that so weird? Like let's reclaim the ability to do that without any kind of guilt. Like I really like that.
Absolutely.
Obi and I are huge fans of women asking out men. I personally believe that like women taking the initiative in sex, love, relationships will like save the world.
It's a turn on, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't it a big turn on?
It's just a turn on. It's just like it's like the missing link to what's sucking about all of our societal problems right now. Like we don't, you know, men, we're kind of reaching this phase where like men are getting that, like we don't, like we kind of fuck things up, and it's like, okay, so this is weird. How do we get out of this? Women seem to know. We get that we haven't been doing a great job guessing what women want. So if women step up and go, this is what I want. This is where I'd like to be touched. This is how, this is what I'd like to do. This is where I'd like to go with you tonight. It's such a relief to
but
men.
But isn't that what happened? I don't want to get into any kind of political discussion.
Sure.
But isn't that exactly what happened in Hillary stepped up and who got voted in?
I'm not.
It's almost like exactly what you just said that you'd like to see happen, but it completely backfired. So I agree with you. Women should step up and take the lead, but a lot of times it does backfire, and that's why they step back. And especially young girls too.
We're still on a journey. On a journey. I mean, hey, she did win the popular vote, though. So I guess in a sense that we're
If you look at younger populations, they are definitely voting more for Hillary than for Trump.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
But I don't want to blame the whole thing. But it's if anything, I feel that men are. And we've talked about this a lot on our podcast, is becoming more insignificant. Their roles are becoming blurred, and they feel like they aren't needed as much.
I just got an email from my school saying that in 5 years, or not 5 years, 10 to 20 years from now, people will not be creating babies. The norm will be going, like, submitting your sperm and an egg and having it created artificially in a very safe, because you can look at the whole genome and you can see any issues that might come up. And so that's going to be the norm, as opposed to having sex and hoping for the best.
Sure.
You'll see so much more about your child. So it's getting to the point where men are becoming very
insignificant.
They're still needed for sperm, but you can spread the sperm anywhere.
Right.
So you won't even need to have sex with them soon.
Yeah. And I've seen plays about that. Domesticated was one of the
plays. Yeah, wasn't that Gattaca was kind of about that a little bit? There was like that scenario, I think, that movie. Oh, Gattaca. But anyways. I mean, it's all changing, and we're working with it. And but yeah, it's changing for sure. And it's good. I'm glad. I mean, I also think, and this is a little bit political, but you know, it's like, I think that these next 4 years, hopefully only 4 years, are going to be our own little Vietnam War era.
Yeah.
And what happened in then was, because there was so much controversy about this war, they were drafting people into, and it sucked, that people's voices were opened and they were opened about other stuff too.
Right.
Well, let's also talk about sex. Let's also talk about drugs. Let's also talk about this. And so because Trump is firing people up and they're taking to the streets. And so we're going to be like, we disagree with this executive order. And by the way,
we don't want to be monogamous anymore.
We also think that we shouldn't have like Schedule I drugs for marijuana. We also think that, circumcision's a bad idea. We also think that, it's going to be a big, like, I think culturally, I think we're going to move forward about like 20 years in these next 4 years.
Yeah. That's a great point.
Let's hope that really does happen.
Because we took an extreme swing in
a
certain direction.
And
it was a huge wake-up call.
In the next 4 years, but the wave of people's opinion is going to change, I think, faster than it would have been if it were.
And
Hillary.
Do you think we can put monogamy in there?
I think, it's already, I mean, people get, I got this question the other day, but they're like, well, you know, millennials don't believe in monogamy. What's that all about? And it's all, you know, it's like, well, millennials don't believe in anything. Let's face it. Like, it's not even like, it's about questioning everything, you know? I think that, relationship styles are going to be questioned. You know, I think polyamory and multiple relationships, multiple committed relationships are going to be like what we're seeing now-ish, but maybe more like previous to now, but now-ish around gay and lesbian rights, I think we're going to see around multiple relationships, because it actually is also a legal issue. I mean, if I'm deeply committed to two people and I get put in the hospital and one of them can come see me and one of them can't. I mean, it's an issue, you know, that people are really working with today. And I think that acknowledging different relationship styles is going to be a thing that we come to. I think we're also dissolving the nuclear family model. Again, slowly, this is not popular opinion yet, but I think we're also seeing, and we being, you know, again, millennials are catching on to this faster because they're younger and more malleable, you know? And I think I include myself in the millennial. I'm like just at the end, I think. You know, we're starting to see that like living in community is way more fun. Like what I'm setting up in my life with my friends is, you know, 20, 30 acres of land out away from a
you're
city.
Doing a
not,
whole,
not literally like
a
right now, but this
you're
is
doing
like,
a whole kibbutz.
We've, you know, been brainstorming this and it's like, and we'll have, you know, separate dwellings, small, and then maybe some community areas and like an egalitarian society like that. I mean, it's like, why would I not?
Don't they do that in Sweden or Switzerland or something?
Oh yeah. Western Europe. Western Europe is ahead of us. I mean, let's face it. The United States is not that progressive socially compared to a lot of other countries in Western Europe. I mean, we're getting there, but we're still very, very, very much like
in the dark
stuck
ages,
in a lot of old things. But yeah, no, a lot of countries, especially like the like countries that, you know, you know, the Netherlands or Denmark, or they can move a little faster because they don't have to cater to 300 million people, you know?
Well, so that was my other question is all your thought. I mean, you're from a fairly, well, you're from the West Coast. You're from,
East Coast.
No,
but, from Boston,
but you lived here for,
I've been here for like 12 years. Yeah.
And it's more, I think the bigger cities, they're just more progressive.
Well, California is just more aggressive. I mean, you want to know what Arkansas is going to look like in 10 years?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Look at California now. You want to know what like Florida is going to look like in 15 years?
And West Virginia ain't going to look like California anywhere.
Right, maybe at some point.
It's just not going
to
happen.
You know, it's progress is inevitable. It's so ridiculous to me, this idea that people think they can like stop progress or that like they're, you know, I'm just like, why do you continually want to be on the wrong side of history? You know, like you wouldn't say that about black people voting right now. That's ridiculous. You wouldn't be like, God, black people voting. That is just a stupid thing.
Or women
what?
Voting.
50 years ago, that was a thing. There were people protesting that, and they were wrong. And you know what? You're gonna try to be on the like, you know, anti-progressive end of things now. Like, you're going to be wrong. Sorry. You know?
I hope you're right.
Yeah. I mean, or the whole United States will just collapse. People will move to another country or whatever.
I think we are coming up on time over here. On that note, we usually end with the same question, which is, have you ever walked in on your parents having sex or vice versa?
No, definitely not.
Nothing.
Have they walked in on you?
Has your parents ever had sex?
I don't think I've had sex at the house I grew up at, and I don't know of, like, I've never even like heard of my parents having sex. Like, I'm sure they do, or I hope they do, but I don't, like, there's no evidence of that in my life.
Do you have siblings?
I have a younger sister. Oh my gosh.
Whew. Sorry.
Yeah. I have a younger sister. Yeah. So, she's pretty traditional.
Does she have the same values or beliefs?
No, I'd say we get along really well, but she's pretty traditional. So, you know. But yeah, have you? I want to know.
I don't think I've had sex in any house that you've ever been in.
You have definitely walked in. We've talked about this.
Oh, I've walked in on you.
Yeah.
I don't even remember walking in on you.
Yeah. We were in the kitchen having sex and then he walked in and wanted to get something to eat. No, just kidding.
I don't even remember the story.
All right. Well, we'll talk about it another time.
And you have not walked in on him.
I don't even know if he had sex until like a year ago. No, I'm just kidding. No, I never walked in on him having sex.
I was 20 when I first had sex. I was well.
I was 19. I was the slut.
But yeah, so that's interesting. No, I've.
You know what's really weird?
Feel like that'll be like, you know, you guys should have like a really good answer to that question. Like, cause you're like, you're so open and like, you know. It's
right.
Like,
but you know, it just dawned on me that I was much more sexually liberated in college than I am now.
Really?
Like oh my God. Now? When I was in college in the late 70s, it was wild over there. I mean, it was just like, you know. Quaaludes then, you know? Yeah,
we got drugs.
Quaaludes are stopping me. There's no Quaaludes any longer.
You know, you're in L.A. Wait, this is, I'm curious, like, why, what's holding you back?
I told you, you know what? It's like, since I've been doing this podcast, it's opened up my eyes to a lot of things that I never even questioned.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going to happen in my future.
Oh my God.
I'm not saying I'm going out, I'm not going over to your place later, but the thought has crossed my mind. No, just kidding.
You know.
No, you know, it's just, I don't know. I can't really say that I would or I wouldn't, although the more that I'm enlightened, the more I'm curious.
It'll make for better content.
I'm doing it for the show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right.
Now, why don't you ask Cam that?
Cam. Yeah, well, but Cam, you know, he's spoken to like his desire to explore a little bit.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Right now, I'm not in a place where I have much desire.
Your relationship been? You say you've been your
six
relationship
months.
6 months. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think in general, we can all lean into those edges, whether we're in a relationship or not. It doesn't have to look like, you know, something wild out of a, you know, 50 Shades of Grey or something stupid like that. But it can be like, you know, I mean, a lot of couples don't watch porn together. Like, that's edgy for some people. Like, a lot of some couples talk about, you know, talking about who you're attracted to, you know, just like, I mean, there's so many ways to go. And again, some people are afraid of that because it's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
But I think you'll also find that there's a lot of opening, a lot of like, wow, like, oh, great. Like, I was...
You don't realize how much you have in common.
It's a way to
it,
develop, even. Like, a lot of intimacy between people. And I think it's just really nice. And again, you know, and I don't know, the whole monogamy thing is silly. It's like, we are coming into this, like, monogamish phase anyways where, like, you know, most people aren't... I mean, what monogamy actually is one partner for life. Nobody does that.
Except
that would mean
if you're
the
a
first
swan.
Person you meet, you have sex, and you're partner for life. Right. Right. That's what animals do, and that's monogamy in the animal kingdom is that. We don't do. We do serial monogamy, mm-hmm. which is one partner at a time.
Yeah.
Right? So even that is not real monogamy. So why not just scrap the whole thing and say, we're going to do what works for us.
Yeah.
What works for us is to be exclusive, but maybe, you know,
on
our
occasion,
friend
yeah.
who we really fucking trust, who's just, you know, like, we're both a yes to, maybe we make out with each other.
Yeah.
Maybe we have a threesome, or maybe they massage me, but we do it naked and that's fine and nobody gets jealous. Whatever. Like, it's just about create your own thing. It's not like I'm not, you know, to me, what being polyamorous is about is not having multiple relationships and needing to do that. It's about having it's about where I come from. It's a mindset that says, I don't own the person I'm with. So, like, they are free to do things.
Sounds
now,
familiar.
We have
right?
compassionate. We compassion. We do things. We don't do things that might hurt the other person. That would just be not a nice thing to do, but it's like a whole different mindset, and so it's not about the structure at all.
I like that.
I like it too.
We rambled at the end there.
That's it was a good ramble.
It's good.
Good.
Thank you so much for joining us, Dave.
I'm in strong like of you right now.
Oh, thank you. Great. Great.
Well, I'm not going to the love yet.
Means, so, you know, whatever. Yeah, thank you.
That's good. And if people wanted to find you, how do they get in touch?
Yeah, Dude Panel Radio is on iTunes. This is my friend Obi and I have these types of conversations every week. And then for the Dude Panel listeners, to find you guys, the name of the show is?
Sex Talk with My Mom.
Right.
Which we're on the iTunes
love that
store.
Show
and we're also on Instagram.
That's right.
And Facebook Live.
Facebook Live and the podcast.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you guys, seriously, for being an awesome example of what more people should do, which is talking about sex with their family.
Aww, so. Group hug.
Yeah.
Thank you again.
Thank you.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.